Let's go now to John 5:39. Welcome all you guys out there. We're glad you're here. We love you guys. We've already had some church up in here, and we're going to have some more. Praise the Lord. I want to talk to you today. This is John 5:39. Actually, we're probably going to, we're going to go there first. That's good. I want to talk to you today. Now, church, you're going to have to really focus today, okay? Because I really need you to walk with me to make sure you get what I'm saying today. It might be a little deeper here. I want to talk to you about revelation that leads to experience. We are word people. We use the words revelation and understanding quite often, don't we? We know we need both. We need revelation. We need understanding. But what I want to do is I want to push ahead to get your thinking up about some things. And John 5, we see Jesus here getting harassed by the Jewish leaders. He has been healing people and doing such things. And just in this one verse, we're going to have some other scripture, but in this one verse, he tells them, "You search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life, but the scriptures point to me." Do you sense what he's talking about there? You're looking, and you're trying to get your stuff, but all of this points to him. So the word itself is going somewhere. It's pointing to something, okay? So praise the Lord. I mean, people will say, well, the word of God is the most important. Well, the Holy Spirit is actually the most important. God himself is the most important because he wrote this. However, this is as much of the Godhead as anything else because it's his words, and you can't separate God from his word. I hope you got that. Praise the Lord. So anyway, the scriptures point to me, he said. So we all need to renew our minds and not just think that it's just scripture. We need to renew our minds daily. And I know, church, that we do that. We renew our minds to make sure we don't let fear in, that we overcome filters, that we are overcomers. And then we do that so that we can gain ground spiritually. We renew our minds so that we can gain ground and get real truth instead of fake stuff. We do that, but there's really more. Because I want to make this statement to you, renewing the mind is not reading words on page and having a moment of revelation about a verse. I think a lot of people see it that way, that, oh, look what that said. And you get some revelation. Truly, church, renewal comes as a revelation leads us into an experience with God. Revelation leads us to experience. Now, this is what I mean by that. Living it out. You're going to live out that revelation. Walk with me. So revelation is meant to bring us into an encounter with God. If it doesn't, church, it's just making you more religious. Revelation is never given to increase your head knowledge. That's a byproduct at best. It's good. It's a byproduct. To renew the mind, you must not just think differently, you must live differently, okay? So we should experience the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in a new way as we're moving that way. So we're looking for life-changing encounters as we get this revelation, okay? So they move your spirit toward an ever-increasing intimacy with God as you do that. You're getting closer to God as you move with him, and you're gonna get more of what I'm saying as you keep following me down this trail. You'll pick up where we're going. So I'll say it like this. They're going to transform your life, okay? It'll transform your life. Now, the revelation of the kingdom is often spoken of as a living seed that comes from another realm or another world, and it carries with it new possibilities. I'm talking about Mark 4, Matthew, Matthew and Luke, all talk 13 and 8, Matthew 13, Luke 8, they're all talking about the parable of the sower. And what we see in there is that those words coming from that realm can change your life, because the sower sows the word, right? And so, but in those teachings, the enemy has a chance to snatch that seed and take it away, right? Now, here's the deal. Jesus, help us, Lord, to get this today. In our culture, we define understanding, okay? We define understanding as nothing more than cognitive reasoning, coming to conclusions, fully comprehending something. But in the Eastern cultures, which is the scriptures are Eastern, okay? In the Eastern culture, understanding is an experience. Like, oh, what? Walk with me. You're going to get this just real quick here. Understanding is an experience. It means engaging in activities. Now, stay with me. Stay close with me. That do involve the five senses. Mm-hmm. So far, if you don't do that, you're just in mental ascent. Okay. Now, I'll weed that out for you in just a second, because I know what you're thinking. But it means to practice in real life what one has come to know by revelation. You practice what you've come to know. You practice what you've come to know. If you just leave it in your mind, oh man, listen, this is so true, church. You have to live it, because as truth and perceptions are revealed to you, you have to engage, and the senses have to eventually play a part. Mm-hmm. God is not just interested in your spirit. He's interested in your whole being. He's interested in your social life. He's interested in the people you hang around with. He's interested in your mental abilities. He's interested in your body. He's interested in all this. He's not just interested in your spirit.
Right.
But your spirit is the part that's actually born again. But you take the revelation and you begin to live it, and all of you begins to change. Now, I think faith people sometimes think that they never need to feel anything. And I think grace people think they never have to do anything. But I believe the word says we need, God wants participation. Actually, church, understanding means yielding to something before you can explain, describe, and describe it. Are you like, huh? How can, what are you talking about? Stay with me. I can tell you real easy how that would work. It exceeds your intellect. We don't have faith because we understand. We understand because we have faith. In other words, you can accept and understand things without completely satisfying the intellect. And you've done it, because you said this, I don't know, but I know this is right. Yeah. You said, I don't know, but I know this is right. I don't totally understand it, but I know this is right. I sense this is right. I sense what they're saying is right. It is right. Mm-hmm. But you don't get the... See, that happened to me 30 years ago or more, and more now, Lord. But... because I was, just brought up in Baptist type church and stuff like that, which is wonderful. I'm praise the Lord for the Baptist. But there were a lot of things we had never learned, like God was good. But when I heard them say he was good, something in me knew it before I could even prove it. But I wanted to prove it. And God will do that with you. But do you see where I'm going with that? It's like, you know something. You don't have to totally understand something to obey it. A lot of people never get to the depth of tithing. I don't think my parents ever got the depth of tithing, but they tithed. Why? Because they knew that it was right, and so they experienced it. Amen. So when you read the word, learning takes place in the spirit first. Then the spirit communicates with our minds so we intellectually understand. You then intellectually understand. But understanding is not required for obedience. A normal Christian is one who obeys the revelation and promptings of the Holy Spirit without understanding. I don't know why you're telling me to do this, but I know you're telling me to do it. And this is what I'm trying to get across to you. Revelation takes you only halfway there. Experience leads you all the way. Okay, so the tragedy is that if we don't move into the experience, the revelation remains locked up in our mind so that we think it's active in our lives. Now, this is so important. This is so important. Get what I'm trying to tell you. If you don't go on through, it's just in your mind and you think you're doing it. But you're not doing it. You're not really living it. Want me to give you a good example? Man, I'm in a faith church and I have faith. Really? Well, I know what it says. I can answer every question. When is faith now? Where is faith? It's in your heart and in your mouth. So faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things seen. But are you experiencing faith?
Well, that's good.
Are you using it in your life?
Yeah.
Or you just come to a faith church and then you just know it, and then when you walk out the door,
right,
you just start up everything you always did.
Hey,
you could do that, and I'm using faith, but you could do that in any category. Yes, I love. I'm not going to be murmuring, complaining for 2 hours. I'm just trying to help somebody here. But if you're really going to get past that, you'll have to do it. I mean, and if you really are using your faith, then your mouth will be different. So if you're going to be saying, well, I just wondered and it didn't work, but we all know what the answer is. You weren't in faith. Mm-hmm. Wish I could moonwalk right now, but Deb can't. Praise the Lord. But, you know, you hear the amens. And you hear a lot of amens, but the people are thinking, yeah, the other people in the room need to hear this because I know it and I'm doing it. But it's just going around in your mind. It's going around in your mind. Now we've all seen examples of that. I've watched people get up here. I'm not necessarily talking about any of you guys that preach or anything, but I have seen in the past people, and in our prayer time, they just act like they're telling us something from prayer, but you can tell it's coming right out of their soul. Because the revelation's not active. They're not activating the revelation and allowing it to come through. People who... they're so desperate to make you think they've got a great revelation that they spin one, but you can tell they really don't have it. You get what I'm saying? Because it's not active. Am I helping you? Are you getting where I'm trying to give you the real Eastern feeling and the real scriptural feeling of understanding? So hearing without doing has locked us up, now listen to me, into form without power. Well, we go to a church, and we believe God heals. Oh, you do? Are you healed? Now, we go to a church, and Jesus heals. Well, are you laying hands on the sick? Are you praying for people to be healed? Now, I'm not talking about you having condemnation because maybe there's something you haven't overcome. Join the club. I mean, everybody in here, we get in this place where we actually put up with stuff. We cope. We shouldn't, but we do. But I'm trying to help us all get through this thing to where we're active. We're actually active on this. You see what I'm saying, Liz? We're actually moving through this thing and using it. We're using our revelation. We're living our revelation as opposed to just letting it twirl around in our minds. Because we think we're doing it. And then it's just a bunch of soul stuff. That's really good right there. I'm happy I've learned this. See the, I understand, I'm in faith. But then you hear those words and you think, well, that's not faith. Okay, it's getting quiet in here. And then for years, it shouldn't take years and years for manifestation. Does it? Yeah, because sometimes we get back into doubt and things, and some of the things it's taken us years. But the reason why I'm teaching this is so that you'll increase more and more and get down the line faster. So you're going to need to have experience to have true understanding. Go over to Mark 6 and about 47. Let's go over there. I want to show you something. And this will give us a good picture to work from. Hearing without doing has locked us into a form without power. Revelation should change our hearts before we could ever explain what we've learned. Oh, I get that. Amen. Now, the disciples, Mark 6:52. The disciples just fed 5,000 men and their families, okay? Now Jesus says, well, y'all go over, get in the boat, go to the other side, okay? Jesus comes walking out on the water. Let's start with verse 47. Late that night, the disciples were in their boat in the middle of the lake, and Jesus was alone on the land. He saw that they were in serious trouble, rowing hard and struggling against the wind and waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. He intended to go past them. But when they saw him walking down the water, they cried out in terror, thinking he was a ghost. They were all terrified when they saw him, but Jesus spoke to them at once. Don't be afraid. He said, take courage. I'm here. This is 6:51. Then he climbed into the boat, and the wind stopped, and they were totally amazed. They're totally amazed. Okay? For they still didn't understand the significance of the miracle of the loaves. Their hearts were too hard to take it in. It is not enough, church, to put revelation just even into practice. We need to become students of miracles. We need to become students of manifestations, harvest, and God winks. Can I use God winks? You little blessings from the Lord. Okay. Miracles can be very impressive, and they can be outstanding, and they can be dazzling, but they weren't really designed to dazzle us. That's not really what they're designed for us. No? Mm-mm. A miracle is a school. A harvest is a school. A manifestation is a school. Think of it this way. You know nutrients from food? Every nutrient, everything that comes out of food puts nutrients in your body if you eat some good food. Y'all hear? Okay, just like that, every situation encounter with God comes with nutrients. And those nutrients are necessary to make us strong as representatives of God on this planet. Okay? So everything that God does in relationship with you and moving you on, you need to take note of it and don't just go, oh, that was so good. Thank you, Lord, for getting me out of that. So, church, we need to see that lessons are intertwined in our supernatural inventions and God winks. And, boy, have we had some this week. Minnie Pearl is home. For those of you online, Minnie Pearl is the puppy that got lost, how many days, 17? 17 days. And we stood in faith and said, this day the Lord will bring Minnie Pearl back. And she ended up in Temple, Texas, and they called, and Jesse and Larry went up and got Minnie Pearl. And she sent me a picture of Minnie Pearl's ear sitting up in the truck. Now, Jesse and Larry and the girls and Bo and Cy and everybody else, all of us around them, we can just look at that and say, well, isn't that good? Look what God did. Yes. Or we could pay really close attention to it. Because the thing that Deb told Jesse is that her Jesse did that with a ring in high school. Somebody stole a ring, and Deb and Jesse kept confessing every day, this day, the Lord shall deliver you into my hands. It was a precious ring to Jesse. And so that ring was gone for a long time, and most people would have said, I ain't coming back. But lo and behold, a little girl walked up to the person who had it and said, that ring belongs to Jesse Quick. And you better take it back or I'm going to the office.
Yep.
She got it back. So before you give up on everything, experience faith.
Yes. So that's good.
When you throw your line out in the water and everybody around you starts saying, oh, they're not biting, they're not biting. No, I don't think they're biting. I just don't think they're biting. You just... Fishy, fishy, fishy. You're like, well, you mean you're using fishing as an example? Oh, yes. That's dominion. I know you know the story of Charles Capps and Happy Caldwell. He threw his line out there. Happy threw his line out there, and big old fish caught that and snapped his favorite lure off in the water. That's fish out there jumping around with the lure in it. He said, oh, man, and he said something negative. And Charles Kepp says, you get in here and give us that lure back. And that fish jumped in the boat. Spit it out. Did he jump in the boat or he just spit the lure out?
He jumped up and spit it into the boat.
Yeah, that's what it was, yeah. I don't know if he got the fish, but he got the lure. If they would have agreed, he'd probably got I don't want to tell it wrong, but I think that's close. You think so, Mildred? That's pretty close. So now you're like, oh, well, so you know what Abby Caldwell said? I can't believe it. Wrong words to be saying at that moment, right? They're so cute. Happy Caldwell one time was driving in Hawaii, and he looked up at this big, beautiful house in Hawaii, and he said, man, I can't even imagine living in a house like that. Spirit of God spoke up on the inside and said, then you never will. But now we can take the Minnie Pearl story and extend our faith. Happened to Jesse, happened to the other Jesse, it can happen to me. So whatever you lost can come back to you. Huh? The school of Minnie Pearl. We need to write that down. We should start writing in our journals all these things. We could put a book together. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. So here they are. Think about it. Jesus' disciples just participate in this mind-boggling miracle of great multiplication of food. They just did. Now, these kind of things will help your, along with the word, these things are going to help you. But here they go. It actually took place in their hands, Jordan. He gave it to them. He gave it out to them to do. He gave it out to them. He didn't, they weren't watching Jesus and going, well, glory to God, he is the Son of God. No, he gave it to them. They passed it out. It multiplied in their basket. Okay? So, then later that day, Jesus says, well, go on across to the other side. So evidently he expected them to go to the other side. Right? He's going up praying, and I believe by the Spirit of God, he saw them struggling. And so he's going to go check on them, but he's going to walk on over to the other side. He's just going to check them out and see if they're ever going to use what they've learned. Right? Now he's walking on the water. That's pretty cool. And if you've been to Galilee, it's not ankle deep. And the winds do come up every evening over the hills there, and there's a little thing that goes on. We actually got out on the boats and danced with the Israeli people. How much fun. Did you do it too, Joy? Just so much fun. But so he's walking and he sees them, and they see him. Ah, it's a ghost. They're screaming in fear. So he gets in the boat, stops the waves, stops the wind, and they are completely amazed. Interesting. So they obeyed completely. Now you got to hear me. They obeyed completely in passing out the bread and the fishes. So they're doing it, but their hearts were still hard. When they got to the next place, they hadn't seen through the miracle. They didn't see what, they didn't get what they should get from the miracle. You gotta get first mini pearl, verse one. You're gonna have to get it. Get it. Get it. You gotta get it. Now, it didn't transform them. Why? Because they didn't see their role in the previous miracle. Come on. They didn't see their role in the miracle. The next time they encountered a problem and Jesus wasn't in the boat, they had no solution. Now, let me ask you a simple question. Do you know what to do next time you lose something? Or someone or somewhere or your dog or something? I think you have some good examples. But they didn't get that because they didn't bother to stop and take time. It didn't get into them what God had already done for them and that he used them in it. So they didn't have any solutions for it, okay? So they missed the whole point there. Now, the previous miracle should have empowered them for the next one. Did you hear me? The previous miracle should empower you for the next one. The previous manifestation should empower you for the next one. The previous harvest should empower you for the... When's the last time you got a windfall financially? That should empower you for the next one. When's the last time you prayed for someone and they got healed? That should empower you for the next one. When's the last time you witnessed to someone and they got saved? That'll empower you for the next one. When's the last time you had some favor... And that should empower you for the next time. It's called momentum, church. Glory to God. So, but see, a miracle is a tutor. It's a gift of God to show us what exists on the other side. When God does a miracle for us and we get to be a part of it, he's teaching us how to see into that invisible realm. If I experience a miracle and later revert back to the same doubt, complaining, moaning, groaning, because it'd be because I haven't let the testimony of the Lord have its full effect. Full effect. Let it have a full effect. That's why you hear people tell their testimony. And that helps people do what? Overcome. How do you overcome? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Right. So, we just need to increase our awareness, church. Kingdom thinking knows that anything is possible at any time. We need to just surrender to our thought patterns now to God and have the thought patterns of God. We need to receive his imaginations and we need to say yes to them. We want our minds to be full of kingdom influence. We want miracles, and we want those miracles to have their full effect on us, changing the way that we see and the way that we behave. Now, as we close, I want to make something really clear to you. We put our faith to work, and we get manifestations. This is how we live. We live by faith. We don't live by miracles. We live by faith. Okay, in the sense that we know miracles, okay, when you look at the whole picture of it. Every time you experience a harvest, it should teach you. Every time you experience a manifestation, it should teach you. And every time you experience a miracle, it should teach you all of those things. We live by faith. When the Lord led them through the wilderness, they had to live by miracles because they didn't believe anything. And so, but that's not really how you should live. You already have everything in an account. And so all your stuff is in Ephesians 1:3. It's all for you in an account. So you just draw with faith. Now, am I saying you don't ever have a miracle? No, no, you do have miracles. Most of them are coming through you, though, instead of to you. Amen. You do have them. I mean, we could say Minnie Pearl was a miracle. I don't. I say she was the harvest of faith. She was the manifestation of faith. But you know, the person that Margaret prayed for, that the hand straightened out here that day, she got a miracle because they went boom right then. Healing and miracles are different. They're both good. But I'm telling you, you go ahead and live by faith. The just shall live by faith. You're drawing out of your account, but you're going to have the tutor of manifestations and also the tutor of healing. To me, miracles, in my mind, they're almost always for other people. Okay? So, not that you don't get them, because he'll come. He'll do them. Words bring faith. Word alone. Word alone brings faith. So these other things that I'm talking about are faith extenders. Because Minnie Pearl came home doesn't give me faith. It extends my faith. The word gave me the faith, but we got the answer, so I'm like, yeah. Yeah. Now the God wink. Let's just talk about God wink real quick. We're gonna stop in about 3 minutes, and we're really early. The God wink that we get, and I'll give you. Do you mind if I use the example? Okay. So Doyle came. It was interesting because you got a prophecy about Doyle. And that favor from him, his favor would get off on you. Remember that? Okay. So Doyle comes, and it was wonderful. And hey, isn't Haley sweet? And the kids, they're so cute. So he plays his music and everything. And then I usually don't do this with guests, but I just said, hey, can you sing Life Doesn't Have to Be So Hard? It's a song that Haley sang years ago. She cut a record and she sang it. And she says, I don't remember it. Okay. And then he comes. It just drops down in his spirit. And he starts playing before she ever gets up there, When You Say Nothing at All. Okay. Which is a sweet song about two people in love, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So he's singing it. And I'm thinking, oh, this is just precious. That's such a sweet song. Good song to end with for people who love each other. And after the service, Jordan tells me, which you all know this weekend, his mother went to heaven, and his dad's already there. And so he says, that was my mom and dad's song. That's a God wink. That is a God wink. That's God saying, I'm going to show you they're reunited. I'm going to show you how precious you are to me that I'm going to let you know. Now, Doyle could have picked another guitar poor song or whatever it is. Hey, he's the only person that gets to say that kind of word in this church, okay? I tease him about it sometimes. But he could have picked any song. Yeah. But if you'll watch for them, God will wink at you. Yeah. And you don't have to get flaky about it. You don't have to go, oh, I see a plane flying over my head and I will now prophesy or what? Now you don't have to, but if you'll watch, the Lord will just tip his hat to you. He'll just wink at you, just give you a little extra something, and you'll see it. Yeah. You'll see it. Yeah. Every year at the Believers Convention, not only am I blessed with the front row seat, but also I'm blessed that God gives me a God wink every time. Something special happens to me at every convention of these last however many I've been to. About as old as I am, it seems like, but. How many? 34 years. We haven't missed one. It's usually a song. And one of my favorite songs is Never Gonna Stop Singing. which Deb did today. And I loved the girl who sings. She doesn't come anymore, but she used to come. You remember her name, Danny? I don't remember her name right now. But anyway, I saw her in the elevator when we were there, the last time she was there. And I said, are you going to sing the song? And she says, well, she wasn't in the lineup to do it. Walk over, she gets up there and sings it first. That's a God wink. But this last year, they didn't play me a song. And I was like, well, I know God's got it. And lo and behold, the prophet walked over and slapped me on the leg and said, we're family, girl! And I went, there's my God wink right there. But if you'll watch for little things like that, if you just watch, God will bless you. Somebody will say something to you. Somebody will do it, and it'll be the Lord saying, I told you. I told you. I told you I loved you. I told you I'm for you. I told you you don't have to lose. I told you. You're not stuck on the edge of the cliff, church. Your family's not stuck on the edge of the cliff. Miracles are always possible. Butch, your daughter, there's a miracle for her. And we've agreed for a miracle for her. She needs a miracle. She needs it. We stand in faith for that miracle.
Thank you, Lord.
But if he brought back Minnie Pearl, he can bring back every muscle.
Boom. Wow. That's good.
That's right. Whew, I feel the anointing on that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So if you're in a storm today, you just need to think about your past miracles. Your victories, your harvest, your manifestations. Sissy, I hope you don't mind me telling this, but many years ago, Debbie had rheumatoid arthritis. And she couldn't even get out of bed. She was already... And I'm telling you, we prayed. God did it. One morning, she got up out of bed and it was all gone.
Amen.
Totally gone.
Glory.
Totally gone. And has never come back. It's totally gone. So she can use that and go forward.
Yes.
Remember what you did, Lord?
Yes.
For me, when I was 8 months pregnant with Toby, I had asthma all my life, all my life. I was 8 months pregnant with Toby, and I had an asthma attack, and you can't go take the stuff. Right. I mean, not at 8 months. I mean, that stuff they give you. And so I didn't have much of a choice but just to bear it, and the pastor came over. He laid his hands on me and prayed for me, and it stopped. And guess what? Never, ever came back. I never had one symptom of asthma again. Blew out both of my knees and decided to go skiing. And they said, you're going to have surgery on those knees. And I said, no, I don't think so. And I got on the ski lift with the skis on. And when I got on, I heard the Lord say, I'm your shepherd. And when I stepped off onto that snow, both of my knees were healed. I just went on skiing. Now, I've got story after story after story. One time, me and John and Rachel and Deb went to Branson to go pray. And on the way up there, one of my knees started acting up. Remember that, Rachel? And I just started limping. And it was so bad. It hurt so bad. They stopped and got me a cane at Cracker Barrel or something. Yeah. And so that I could make it. But we were still in faith. And, you know, I wouldn't even have done that. But I had to be able to move. So we get to the bed and breakfast. And we're all four of us are in faith. Open the door to my room. Stepped over the threshold to start prayer and stuff, and it left.
Amen.
You've got stories like that.
Yeah.
You've got all these stories like that.
Yeah.
You've got all these hard. Go back and think about them. Think about what God has done for you. Think about the favor he showed you.
Yeah.
Think about the favor we had getting into this building. Think about the favor in your business. Think about everything that he's done. Think about how he's favored America. Don't give up.
Yes.
Don't give up on America. God's still got plenty. God wants this country. It's his. Just dig a little deeper, church. Look into what's going on with you. Watch the God winks. You know, they say, and please don't take this flaky wrong, but they say that a cardinal, when it comes and acts odd around you, that it's a message from heaven. Now, I don't believe that the people from heaven are sending out birds, okay? I don't believe that. But I do believe that God uses nature. I believe the Holy Spirit can use nature. And I've just seen those little birds. And you said something about on the very day, was it the day your mother went to heaven? Yeah, she went to heaven. Jordan called Danny and said, there's a cardinal. I'm trying to talk to my client. And this cardinal's just pecking on the window, pecking on the window. And so Danny was telling me about it. I said, well, you know, I believe the Lord could have been using that bird. And then what does Doyle do? He gets up here and says, that bird, I was praying about what I'm going to do financially because I'm stuck at home with COVID. The bird lands out there, a little bitty bird, and gets this great big worm and swallows it. And he went, oh, now I know what I'm going to do. God sent Doyle to remind us of God winks.
Yeah. Amen.
Telling you. Might want to pay attention. I'm going to go back and read some of your prophetic words. It's time for you to start seeing miracles and living by faith. And it not just be something active rolling around in your mind, but you're actually experiencing it through your life. Amen.